Thanks for checking out the podcast of the Church at Lake Travis. If you have any questions about our church, visit us online at churchlt.com.
Yeah, all right. Well, welcome to part two of Closer. It's good to be here and good to see all of you. If you're joining us as a guest today, thank you for being with us. We're super glad you're here. In fact, Church at Lake Travis family, let's say welcome to all our guests today just by clapping our hands. Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's not lost on us when you check out a new church, and so we're glad that you're here. Hopefully you find a warm community that cares about people, and we want to know, as Lee mentioned, that you were here, so let us know by completing that connection card. We are in a season as a church of really drawing close to God. That's what this series is called, Closer. And if you're like me, June and July are a little bit out of rhythm, of normal rhythm. Even my workout routine kind of changed in the month of June and July, and I realized that that happens in our spiritual lives as well, that we can find that we kind of get in this summer slump or we're a little bit tired. June and July are also one of our busiest seasons as a church, where we have Mission Waco for our students, and then in July we have a huge event that we do every July called Mega Sports Camp, and many of you made that happen. In fact, it's a church-wide event. It takes everybody and being involved, and so we go through those big times, and then we kind of go into this slump, and we need something to kind of revive our spirit and bring us back, and this series is designed to do that, along with 21 Days of Prayer. Really, it's all about us saying, God, we're going to pause here in this season to draw close to you. Our goal for today really is to continue this series that's about worship and to give us a clear definition of worship and really what it means to worship God. Really, if you want to say it this way, worship is really expressing our love for things. Last week, Lee talked about how we can turn our worry into worship. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that message, go back and listen on iTunes or on our website, because it was a great message. Such good feedback from it, because I think we all can identify with that. Like, we worry about things when we, in fact, should turn our attention to God and turn it to worship. And so today we're going to talk a little bit more about that and really talk about how when we give God the highest place, when we value God in the ultimate place, that He is getting our worship. Because we're all constantly worshiping something. We were made to worship. Maybe you see it in your checkbook that you spend a lot on this particular thing, and that's where your value is. So that's your worship is going there. Maybe it's in the way that you spend your time and your calendar, and you can see, this is what I value. This is what I worship. We're about to get to see, we're entering into this season where we're going to get to see a huge worship explosion here, right here on the Lake Travis campus every Friday night. That's Friday night football in Lake Travis, and there will be a stadium full of worshipers who will be expressing their love to football during this season. And it's so interesting to watch people who may come into church on a Sunday morning and sit with their arms crossed, go absolutely buck wild crazy at a football game. It shows what they value most. It shows that they value football over their relationship with God. And really, I want to say this, that just because we love things doesn't mean that those things are necessarily bad. They just can't be the ultimate in our lives. It's when we make them ultimate in our lives that that becomes a false sense of worship. So here's a good definition for worship. I got this from a pastor up in Dallas area, Pastor Robert Morris, and it is that worship is our response to what we value most. Worship is our response to what we value most. So today, I want to lead you on a journey that will help us understand where worship began and really how we can get back to that place from which we were made for. We were made to worship. So I think the first question we have to answer is when did worship begin and who was the first worshiper? And you may not know this, and this is going to go way back for all of us. And the when you want to find out the purest form of something, when you want to find out the genesis of something, the beginning of something, you need to look back at the beginning and find out what was it that happened. And so today, I want you to see there was an angel in heaven who was in charge of all of the other angels to bring worship into heaven. And this angel, his name was Lucifer. You may have heard this before. And I want to show you kind of the origins of this in the scripture. Actually, there are three angels that were named in the Bible. And you may have read these before if you read your Bible, and I encourage you, if you haven't, to check this out. But the first one that you hear about, his name is the angel Michael. Michael was mentioned in the book of Daniel, and Daniel has been praying for 21 days, which is where we get the idea of 21 days of prayer from, because we know that 21 days is a pivotal spiritual moment for many people. If they'll develop a habit over 21 days, that they'll carry it on for many, many years to come. But not only that, because of this spiritual truth where the angel Michael shows up after Daniel has been praying for 21 days, and Michael says to Daniel, "I heard you on the first day, but I had to battle the spiritual forces of darkness to be able to get to you today on the 21st day." Some of you need to hear that word, that what you've been praying and you've been believing God for, God's working on your behalf, but there's some spiritual forces of darkness that are having to be defeated for God to get to you, to encourage you, to say it's going to be okay. So that's the first one. Michael comes, and he is the angel that is all about prayer. And the second angel that's mentioned in the Bible, and you've heard this before, is Gabriel. If you've read the Christmas story, you know about this one, because Gabriel brings this word from God to Mary and Joseph and other relatives in the Christmas story to tell them about what God wants them to know. So you have this prayer, you have this word, and then finally Lucifer, who was of all of God's angels designed to be the worship leader in heaven to bring worship to God. Now, this might be interesting for you, or maybe the first time that you've ever heard this, but you need to know that in heaven, God wanted there to be prayer, that God wanted there to be His Word, and God wanted there to be worship. And He did that with the angels that were in His presence. And I would say and argue that that's really what we do here on Sundays. That we're not gathering here out of religious obligation. We're not gathering here out of habit or because it's necessarily a good thing. But we're gathering here to reflect what's happening in heaven right now, and to bring these things, prayer, the Word, God's Word, and worship to God. I think that if you're really trying to learn and trying to grow in your faith, that this is a pretty good system for having a time with God. If you will spend 5 minutes in worship, just turn on one worship song and let that play. Most of them are about 5 minutes these days. Turn that on and just listen to the words. Direct your heart and your attention to God. Then spend 5 minutes reading God's Word, and then spend 5 minutes responding in prayer to what you just read and heard from God's Word. I think that would transform your spiritual life if you begin to practice that on a regular basis. Now, so if you have worship and you have the Word and you have prayer, but Lucifer is no longer in heaven because he's now been cast out of heaven, then we have a quandary in front of us. Now, you may be saying, well, wait, time out. I don't know about that whole fall out of heaven, that angel Lucifer. So let me know a little more about that. Here's where it comes from. Isaiah chapter 14 gives us a background. And this was originally addressed to the king of Babylon. But what you need to know, anytime that God is speaking to a literal physical king, that oftentimes he's speaking to the spirit who's working behind that king or that person. Now, some of us need to know that the battle that we are fighting is not a battle of flesh and blood. That person is being manipulated by the evil one, by the spiritual powers of darkness and principalities and rulers of this dark age that we're in. And that's what's happening here in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 14. Beginning verse 12, speaking to Lucifer, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. You've been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the mount. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. This is where Satan gets it way wrong. I will make myself like the Most High. In his heart, Lucifer, who we now know to be Satan, resents that God's getting all the attention. And he wants to get all the attention off of God. And that's why what you worship is so vital and so important. Because when we take our attention off of God, we indirectly participate in Satan's plan from the very beginning. Isaiah 14:11 talks about how Lucifer was created and some of the elements of his very person. Verse 11 says it this way: all your pomp has been brought down to the grave, along with the noise of your harps. A harp is a stringed instrument. We know you pluck the harp and it's the stringed instrument. And the New King James Version actually says that Satan doesn't only have a harp, it's not an external part of who he is, but it is an internal part of who he is. That he is a stringed instrument. Ezekiel also talks about how Satan was adorned as an angel of God. And this is fascinating to me. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Think about this. Beautiful, adorned with stone, carnelian, chrysolite, emerald, topaz, onyx, jasper, lapis, lazuli. That's a hard word to say. Turquoise and beryl. And then it says this: your settings and mountings were made of gold. This is interesting. A setting and a mounting is always designed to make the jewel look more beautiful. It's not to bring any attention to itself. However, the King James Version says it this way, that same phrase, it says, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee that day that thou was created. A tabret is a tambourine. That's a percussive instrument that you shake. If you go to some church services, like, they can get down on some tambourine, you know, like they're having fun with it. We might discourage that here. Tyler might not like it if you kind of got him off beat with a rhythm there. This is the idea. Satan has this percussive instrument, but also notice it has pipes. This is representative of some kind of wind instrument. Every instrument falls into one of those three categories. You have strings, you have percussive instruments, and you have wind instruments. And what's fascinating about this is that Lucifer himself possessed all three of those things. And that's what made him the worship leader in heaven, because he could bring all of those things to God in music and glorify him. In fact, music is very powerful. Notice what the next verse says. It says, you were anointed. When we speak about God's anointing, we know that that's something that's very powerful. And Lucifer was anointed to lead all of heaven in worship to God. It was designed to set the culture within heaven, because all heaven, we know, declares the glory of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Like, all of heaven is saying that 24/7, but Lucifer started that culture way back when. The reality is, music is powerful. Music does establish culture and values and under supports beliefs. Where I grew up in Southeast Texas, it was country music. You know, country music is what I love. Yeah, you know, like that was what it was, country music. And guess what? The culture in Southeast Texas reflects that country music. Music is emotional. Like, you can go back to a place like 10, 20, 30 years just when you hear a song, like, oh, that song takes me back. I love that song. Like, music has always been powerful. And that's why what we do here on Sundays is so powerful and helps us to refix our attention on God. That's what Satan was doing in heaven all along. When we look at this passage, we continue to read, you were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence, because any opposition against God makes us an enemy of him. You were filled with violence, and you sinned, so I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor, so I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. Now, you may be hearing me read that and be like, is that really in the Bible? Yes, it's really in the Bible. You should read it sometime. It's pretty interesting. Also, you may be saying, that sounds a little fantastical, like really, like this all kind of was going on behind the scenes. And I would say, read the New Testament, because Jesus actually spoke about this in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 10, it says it this way, Jesus speaking, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So now that Satan has fallen, there's no worship leader in heaven directing the choirs of heaven. God still wants prayer and worship and his word to go forth. So the big question to me really is, who's the new worship leader? Who is the new worship leader? I think it's you, and I think it's me. We are the new worship leaders. You see, you and I were created to worship. And I want you to see that we love the musicians that come here and play. And we see that all through the book of Psalms, that worship has musical instruments that are used. But I want you to see that you were created just with everything you need to worship God. Think about this with me for a moment. You have vocal cords that represent a stringed instrument. You have woodwinds, or winds, not woodwinds. You have wind instruments that are your lungs that bring forth air so that it brings across the stringed instruments and makes noise. It might not be a beautiful noise, but it's a noise. That's what's supposed to be funny, guys. I'm sorry. You not only have strings and wind instruments, but you also have some percussion instruments right here. That helps to keep time and keep rhythm and celebrate and praise. Lucifer possessed all three of these. He was the worship leader in heaven, and now he's fallen to the earth, and we're the people of God designed to bring that same kind of worship and beauty and splendor and majesty to our God. Every part of us was designed to worship. This week, this was totally not supposed to be a sermon illustration, but I got to see this happen. My daughter Ella and I were riding in the car together. We were going to Grayson's football practice, and I don't know what made it come up. We weren't even listening to music on the radio, but she just started singing and in the back seat, and she was like clapping. I mean, she was jamming. She was going. She was really worshiping God. She's 7 years old and just so cute. And I just thought, man, I've got to capture this on video. And I know you're not supposed to have your phone while you're driving, but I wasn't like looking at the phone, and you'll see that in a moment. I just flipped through the camera and held it right here while I'm driving, looking forward. And she just continues to go on and on. And she's using these instruments that God gave her to worship. I want you to take a look right up here. Isn't that so good? Now, none of you can go up to her after church and say, you did so good on your video. She was a little shy about me showing that today. And so I did get her permission, but please don't go embarrass her after church today. The point is, we were made for this. We were created for worship. In fact, there are three truths that I believe CLT needs to know and I want us to embrace in this season of drawing closer to God. And the first truth is this, that we were made from God. God made me from Him is the first truth that we need to understand. Genesis chapter 1 says it this way. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image. For everything that He made, God wanted there to be a relationship." He says, let's take part of us and put it in mankind. And so since we came from God, we know that we have this innate desire to reconnect with God. God made us to be with Him. Have you ever heard someone say this phrase? Well, I just got ahead of God. I got ahead of God in the decision that I needed to make, or the job that I took, or the class that I picked, or whatever. I just got ahead of God on the girl that I chose, or on the whatever it was. Have you heard someone say that before? Well, I had a mentor that taught me, and he would actually correct people when they would say, I just got ahead of God, because he would say, no one gets ahead of God, because God's everywhere all the time. He said, what we can do is run independent of God. And I would add, the moment that we attempt to run independent of God is the moment that we begin to wither and die spiritually. Because we were made from Him. Number two, we were made to be with Him. Now, I believe too many people have a formal relationship with God. And that is, they really don't love God. They like God. And they will show up for an hour a couple of times a month as a perfunctory, obligatory habit that they're going through the motions, and they'll come here, but their life doesn't look anything like that during the week. And God never intended for that to be the case, because He wants to be with you. I think about how important this is, because one of the scriptures that jarred me whenever I first became a Christ follower was from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus was speaking, and he was saying that many people would come to him and would say, "Lord, Lord, look at all the good things that I did in your name. Look at all the amazing things that I accomplished for you." And Jesus will look at them and he will say some startling words. He will say, "Get away from me, because I never knew you." God doesn't want us to simply check a box on Sunday and go through some religious motion. He wants us to know him. He wants us to be with him. Now, what's interesting is that there are some people who are very religious, but you don't know God. And God wants a relationship with you. And if you're here at the church at Lake Travis, we want you to know that you can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, where he laid down his life and died on the cross so that he could have the payment of your sin paid for. And you can simply believe in that truth and begin a relationship with God because of that faith that you've displayed in him. Now, here's a really interesting example talking about marriage in the New Testament and the kind of relationship that God wants to be with us. Here it is, Ephesians chapter 5. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." This, and then he says, he just flips it. All of a sudden, he's talking about marriage, and he's saying the man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and that's a different sermon for a different day. But then he flips it and he says, "Wait, we're not even talking about marriage right now. We're talking about something about a relationship God wants with his people. This is a profound mystery. I'm talking about Christ and the church. I'm talking about a love relationship. You see, that's what I want. I want a close, intimate relationship." Ashley and I have been married for 19 years, and I remember. On March the 29th of 1998, it was my birthday, that's why I remember it really well, on the courthouse lawn in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I got down on my knee and I proposed to her and asked her to be my wife. Best birthday present ever for her to say yes, you know? What I was asking for in that moment was not to check a box and to say I'm married legally. What I was asking for in that moment was that she would give me access to her. I wanted an intimate, close relationship with my wife. That's what marriage is all about. When I officiate weddings, I say that marriage is a gift from God. Marriage is a gift from God because there's no other earthly relationship that displays the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us than marriage does. I believe that. At the end of all time, we're going to see this picture played out in a real way. In fact, Revelation 21 speaks to this, and you'll see some of the things we talked about in Isaiah and Ezekiel coming out here in this passage in Revelation chapter 21. "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the last seven plagues came and said to me," and this is where you'll see this language of the bride, the church being the bride of Christ, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb," that is Jesus, who was slain as the Lamb of God. "And he carried me away in the spirit to the mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God." This is really cool imagery stuff. Revelation 21:19 says it this way, "The foundations of the city that's coming down," this is a new Jerusalem, "the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone." Does that sound familiar? "The first foundation was jasper, sapphire, agate, emerald, onyx, ruby, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, turquoise, jacinth, amethyst." It's beautiful. God goes over the top. And he wants you and I to be right there with him. That leads us to the third point. It's from him, with him, and now we see God made me to express love to him. God loves you. He loves you with a never-ending, undying kind of love. You need to hear that. And all he wants is for you to love him back. And that's really the heart of God. He wants you to draw close to him. There's an old just campfire sing-along, like we used to sing it all the time. And it's a simple song that says, and the words will come up here on the screen. It says, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Yeah. Just express your love to God. That's what you were created for. What you were designed to do. You're a created being that was made by God to be with him and to express your love to him. Jesus said something shocking, actually. He said, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers, I think we want to be true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit. We talk about that a lot here at the Church of Lake Travis. We talk about having presence-driven worship experiences. Like, we don't simply want to have a good performance and a good show. We want to have excellent things that are here, but we don't want that to be in place of encountering the real presence of God. And so we want to worship God in spirit, but we also want to worship God in truth. We want to be faithful to declare truths about God and who he is and what he's done. I'll tell you, there's a massive movement of worship music out today. Like, a lot of great songs. Like, they're really awesome, just music. But I would argue that they're not really worship, even though they're in that genre. Because they often talk a whole lot more about me and a whole lot less about God. And I would say God is saying through this passage that God wants us to worship him in spirit, like with passion and with his presence. But he also wants us to worship him in truth, like declaring faithfully who he is and what he's done. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God's not looking for churchy stuff. He's looking for our heart. He's looking for our love. In fact, in the Old Testament, and I'll talk about this some other time, there are 7 Hebrew words for worship and praise. But in the New Testament, there's only 1 word, and it's here in the New Testament. It's the Greek word proskuneo. And proskuneo is first and foremost defined as a very intimate word, and that is to kiss. To kiss. Now, most of you probably, if you've had your first kiss already, sorry guys over here, then you might remember it. It might not have been pretty, but it was memorable. And it might have been memorable because that might have been the first time that you were in proximity close to someone in that way before. I think about this when I think about kisses, how when Blake, who's now 15, was a baby, he was our only kid who used a pacifier. And he became so proficient at using that pacifier. Like, he could be asked a question and pull that pacifier out and say whatever he was going to say and put it right back in. Like, it was just so fast. And I remember that so well. And I remember when I would say something like, you know, Blake, give Dad some kisses. Like, I didn't care. Like, that pacifier, for whatever reason, he had like a perpetual ring of slobber around his mouth because of that pacifier. It just leak out, you know. And I would say, give Daddy some sugars. And he would pull that pacifier out and kiss all over my face. And I loved it. He showered me with affection. I didn't care. And I just think, how much more does our Heavenly Father want us to shower Him with affection in all kinds of ways, that we will lift our hands to Him, that we'll clap our hands to Him, that we'll sing with our voices, that we'll worship Him with everything we are. And here's what I believe will happen. I believe we'll be able to draw close to God. Now, I have to say something here because I said in the beginning that we worship is our response to what we value most. And for some of you here, you might not value a relationship with God. In fact, there may be something in your past that keeps you from wanting to be close to God, because you hear this language about God being your Father in heaven, and you immediately go to that place where, if He's anything like my earthly father, I don't want anything to do with being close to Him. Now, I can relate. If you're new and you're visiting, you don't know my story. Most of everyone else does. But my dad was an alcoholic and addict, and was in and out of my life my entire life. I've seen him 3 times in the last 15 years. I'm not close to my dad. And I get it. I get that feeling of not wanting or having any desire to be close to your earthly father. But can I say that through the truth of God's word, I've learned that my heavenly father will never disappoint me like my earthly father has. And you can confidently draw close to your Father in heaven and know that He will never fail, that He'll never disappoint, and that He will only show you perfect love and perfect grace, because He loves you and He cares about you. And so, as we prepare to reflect on today's message and respond in worship and communion, I want to invite you to bow your head right where you are. And I want to invite you to enter into a place of reflection. First of all, to say, number one, do I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? I've been created by Him, but I don't really know Him. And so if you're here today and you would say, I need to enter into that relationship with God, then I want to invite you to do that here today. And there's nothing magic about it. It's simply by expressing your desire to say, God, here I am. I confess my sin, and I ask You to forgive me. And I want to trust what Jesus Christ did for me by paying the penalty of my sin when He died on the cross. And I want to have the kind of hope that I can have a relationship with God because He rose from the dead. And if you're here today and you pray that prayer in your heart, congratulations. You just entered into a relationship with God by faith. And we celebrate that today.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Our mission is to lead people into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ, and our prayer is that you are closer to Jesus as a result of listening today.